Hello and welcome to the Top 30 podcast. I'm Richard Bacon.
And I'm Kristen Smith. Here are your top 30 stories in 30 minutes. Coming up, the science behind why certain people get mosquito bites more than others. Move over, honeymoon. We'll tell you all about the new trend of jobby moons. And a service member delivers the ultimate surprise for his son's 12th birthday.
First, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety just released their front crash test ratings, and two of America's top SUVs earned their worst rating. Designed to test how well front seat passengers were protected in a collision at 40 miles per hour, the Ford Explorer and the Jeep Grand Cherokee did not do well, scoring as marginal, the second worst rating a vehicle can receive. During the same test, the Volkswagen Atlas, Kia Sorento, and GMC Acadia all earned the highest possible rating with a good score. Of the three other SUVs tested, the Nissan Pathfinder, Toyota Highlander, and Honda Pilot all earned an acceptable rating. It should be noted, however, that both Ford and Jeep meet federal safety standards.
Kim Kardashian met with Alice Marie Johnson, the woman she helped get pardoned from prison after serving more than 21 years. Kim flew to Memphis for the emotional meeting and said freeing Alice became a mission she just didn't want to give up.
I think to some people it might seem like, okay, Kim made a phone call to the president, showed up. We had been in talks and working on this for 7 months. And it wasn't an instant thing.
And a new report from AAA says Americans are spending an average of 7% of their income on filling up their gas tank. That's up 1.5% from last year. The current national average cost for a gallon of regular is $2.905. You can see how your state stacks up here. And Trey Morrison got the best surprise on his 12th birthday.
Returning just this morning and reuniting with his family for the first time in nearly a year,
having missed his son's last three birthdays, Colonel Morrison surprised his family at a Milwaukee Brewers game after having been overseas with the military. They certainly had a lot to celebrate.
All right, let's go to the New York Stock Exchange for our Fox Business Minute with your friend and mine, Nicole Pedalides. Nicole, I am hearing there is a new leader amongst payment apps.
That's right, Richard. Zelle is now the most used peer-to-peer payment app in the United States, according to eMarketer. And get this, it's expected to grow more than 73% this year. That's just about 30 million users. Doritos has launched the world's largest foot-long chips. It's for a limited time, and it's a promotion for the new Jurassic Park film. If you want to get your hands on one, you'll have to tweet at Doritos or bid an eBay auction. All proceeds will be donated to the American Red Cross for disaster relief in Hawaii, where many scenes from the movie were shot. Getting a loan is about to get a little more expensive. The Federal Reserve has raised interest rates and signaled that two more increases are on the way this year.
And Nicole, what was the purpose of this?
The short story is that the Fed thinks the economy has improved significantly since the 2008 financial crisis. In fact, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the decision was another sign the economy is in great shape.
Very interesting. Nicole in New York, thank you.
The temperatures are rising, and that means more mosquitoes to deal with. And if you think you get bit more than other people, there may be specific reasons why. Mosquitoes are attracted to a variety of things, including darker colored clothing and movement. But they're also drawn to certain chemicals. One of those is lactic acid, given off when you sweat. Another is acetone, a chemical in your breath. And for women, mosquitoes react to estradiol, a breakdown product of estrogen. These are different for each person, so if you have higher levels on your body, expect to see more mosquitoes. Your metabolic rate, or carbon dioxide produced, is also a factor. The more CO2, the more mosquitoes. And an increased body temperature will also lead to increased mosquito bites, which explains why you may notice more while you exercise. So if you swear mosquitoes are always picking on you, now you know why.
Welcome back. A new poll found more men are buying big ticket items online, and there are some specific reasons why. An NPR Marist poll found 27% of people have bought something online that cost more than $1,000. When broken down by gender, the shoppers were twice as likely to be men, 36 to 18%. The top reasons men shopped online for expensive items, speed and convenience. They said there is a much bigger selection online and most were willing to shop around and compare items on different websites, but usually not willing to go to different stores to do the same thing. The survey also found men are more likely to buy something without seeing it in person, where women usually like to see it or to feel it, especially when it comes to clothing. 7 in 10 Americans say they have purchased an item online, and that number is going up daily.
Last September, Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. The island is still recovering from the damage. And this year's hurricane season has already begun. But one woman in Florida is doing her part to make sure children in Puerto Rico have fresh clothing to wear. Martha Heft is 99 years old, and she's a very talented seamstress. Now she's putting her sewing skills to good use by making dresses and blankets for children in need. Recently, the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department delivered 60 dresses made by Martha and her friends at church to an orphanage in Puerto Rico. Martha uses patterned pillowcases to make the dresses, and each item is accompanied by a handwritten note like this one, which translates to smile because you are loved. And Martha has no plans to slow down anytime soon.
As long as God grants me life and health, I'm happy to do it. I just wish I had a little more speed. But I enjoy it.
Martha shows you can always reach out a helping hand no matter what age you are. Well, the most popular wedding date of 2018 may surprise you. According to the planning and registry site Zola, the biggest day for weddings this year is October 20th. For years, the most popular wedding dates fell during summer months. But in 2018, 40% of all weddings will take place during September and October for the first time ever. Zola told the site Brides, this year, we're really seeing this season surge in popularity. Of the 10 most popular dates, only one is during the summer. Experts say October first became popular with brides shopping for a bargain. It was less desirable than summer dates. Well, now more couples are looking for cooler weather and photos that feature changing leaves and rustic decor. The season also gives couples the option of going more rustic or more formal. But some wedding locations like orchards or barns can't host a gathering till fall. Wedding planners say venue is the biggest consideration couples face when planning their big day. They say couples looking for a fall wedding may have to be flexible with dates and book fast.
More Americans are putting off home improvement projects. 32% of people have delayed a project around the house for 12 months or more. This according to a survey of homeowners conducted by Porch.com. The average home has 9 do-it-yourself projects in need of attention. The purpose of the survey was to figure out homeowners' to-do lists and find out where they spend the most money. With 55%, the most popular job that needs to be done was painting. About a third of homeowners said they needed to remodel a bathroom. 28% need new carpeting. The average homeowner has spent over $9,000 in maintenance. 1 in 5 have spent over $13,000. The CEO of Porch said homeowners often underestimate the investment needed just to maintain the quality of their home. Just 10% of homeowners said they were caught up with home maintenance. By contrast, more than half described their home as a work in progress. A new report says 10% of healthcare workers have experienced sexual harassment. A survey by Medscape found that doctors and nurses are harassed by other healthcare workers as well as non-medical staff and even patients. In many cases, harassment was ongoing and came from more than one person. Actually, what's interesting for me is, you know, when you read a headline like this, I think you might assume it's from patients, right? Mm-hmm. Because as a doctor, you're often in a room on your own with a patient. They sometimes have to take their clothes off and you think, oh, are they using that as an excuse then to grab or grope? But actually, 47% of this, it was harassment by another physician.
Right.
Which in a way makes it more akin to, I think, workplace sexual harassment that we're familiar with.
Yeah, you know? And these numbers are really shocking when you break this study down. 80% of the healthcare industry is made up of women.
Yes, it's a great point.
I can't say that I'm completely surprised.
No.
Just because now we're talking about this and these types of studies are becoming, you know, easier to talk about, more prevalent.
They are.
Well, how about this story? Americans take honeymoons after getting married and baby moons before starting a family. There hasn't really been a word for taking a break before starting a new job until now. The New York Times coined the phrase jobby moon. Career experts say people are changing jobs often and need to recharge. You know, jobby moon, it doesn't have quite the same ring to it maybe as a honeymoon, but I get the concept. You know, you take a break to recharge, to hit the reset button before you move on to your new job. And that makes sense, right?
Well, I mean, look, the reason we didn't have a word for this before is because we didn't need one. I mean, I didn't realize it had been coined by the New York Times until you said it there. I mean, I wouldn't call this the New York Times' finest moment, coining the term jobby moon.
Well, it's just assigning a term to something that's already happening.
It's a bit like if you had a busy week coming up at work next week and took a weekend break. You could call that a busy week at work next weeky moon, right?
I like that too.
But it's just, you are very easily pleased.
Oh, yes. In today's Hometown Stories from Fox 13 Tampa Bay, books provided comfort for Allie Sakaliz as she dealt with hardships growing up. Well, now she's making sure others have that same opportunity with her Show and Teller organization. Rolling her little red wagon from business to business, she's determined to accomplish a big goal, collecting books and organizing readings for all the kids of Tampa.
I want to be able to give back to the children in our community, and this just seemed like a very good way to be able to do that with also getting the community involved.
Our next story from Fox 10 Phoenix. 200 volunteers gathered to clean up local alleyways in an effort organized by the city's Neighborhood Services Department and the Phoenix Rescue Mission.
There's all this sorts of stuff in alleyways where people are trying to live and kids are walking to and from school and home. So to have a bunch of people come out here and to bring just love and to bring an impact to their community is huge for us and is part of transforming our city.
Our final story from Fox 5 New York. A scary situation had a happy ending, all thanks to the quick thinking of Corey Scott. Corey was at school when her friend started to choke during lunch. Remembering how her dad once used the Heimlich maneuver on her, she was able to use the technique to save her best friend. Corey's parents were impressed with the 9-year-old's life-saving actions, but they weren't the only ones. The mayor of East Orange presented Corey with an official proclamation. And even cooler, she got to be honorary mayor for a day. Some e-cigarette and vape sellers are offering college scholarships to get students to write essays about the potential benefits of vaping. Critics say it's a thinly veiled ploy of these companies to attract younger customers. But these companies are saying, listen, this is a win-win for us. They're marketing their product. They're lending college students a helping hand.
A helping hand.
I don't know about this. I mean, college students will do a lot for money. They're broke. So they're seeing, oh, I can write an essay about all the benefits of vaping.
Yeah. Well, I think what is most interesting about this is it demonstrates the way that loopholes work in law. And so at the moment, there are federal rules that ban tobacco and e-cig companies marketing towards minors.
Yeah.
And here what they're doing is they're offering money. It's not a huge amount of money, but it's up to $5,000. It's a lot to a student.
It all helps, yeah. You know,
to write essays about e-cigarettes. And you might say, well, in spirit, that is basically targeting young people with e-cigarettes.
Yeah.
But their lawyer would say, but it isn't technically actually marketing. So it's the reality of how the complexities of how the law works and how companies find a way around it.
Yeah, because the grants are marketed on these e-cigarette sites, because Google has those algorithms, they end up popping up on college websites as the ads on the side.
It is quite clever.
Oh, it makes me so mad.
And now to this story. Who owns dust from the moon? A woman filed a lawsuit against NASA to keep moon dust she claims is rightfully hers. NASA hasn't come after it, but her attorney says the agency has a history of seizing suspected lunar materials. I mean, here's the thing. I think the phrase NASA has not come after it is the key phrase.
Right.
She filed a lawsuit, and in so doing, my fear is in so doing, she's alerting NASA to the fact
that she has moon dust.
They have a history of coming after.
Right.
It seems like a tactical and strategic error.
It does, right.
On the part of a moon dust owner.
I don't know. At first, I was like, wait, so this lady, like, is scared that her moon dust is going to get taken away? But then I looked in the history of it, and NASA actually has organized, like, stings to get moon dust from people.
Her father was a pilot who became friends with Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, so it's special to her.
Yeah, yeah, gave her when she was 10 years old. It would be a bit harsh if NASA came and raided her house with some moon dust that her father gave her when she was 10 years.
It's happened before.
It happened before.
All right, we'll see what happens. Okay, do you prefer an aisle seat or a window seat? How about you when you're flying? Aisle seat or window seat?
Window.
I love the window too.
Sleep easier, lean against the side.
Exactly, yeah. You don't have to lean on someone else's shoulder. Yeah. Well, that question may eventually go away if a new technology catches on. The airline Emirates is testing virtual windows. Each seat would have a screen connected to cameras outside the plane.
I like it.
So, I don't know. See, I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory thing, but I'm just like, okay, if I'm looking at a screen, I could be anywhere.
Yeah, but you're just in the sky. How do you know whether you're in the sky above Mexico or the sky above Canada or the sky above Brazil?
I'm very smart.
I would recognize a country's clouds anywhere. I assume it makes, in fact, I know this from reading the data on it. It makes a plane more, a bit more aerodynamic, a bit leaner, a bit more robust, makes it more fuel efficient.
Right, save some money.
So instead of asking for a window seat, you ask for a screen seat.
Right. Yeah.
Works.
I could get used to it.
Yeah, you'll have to.
A woman in New Jersey recently discovered a diary from the early 1900s when she was going through some old boxes. And now she's trying to get it back to the owner's family. Mike Derrick from Fox 29 in Philadelphia joins us now with more. Hi, Mike.
Her name, Kristen, is Tracy Hampton. She's now 32 years old. So 20 years ago when she was 12, she was out walking in the woods near her house and she saw this. Well, it looked like a book. She opens it up, realizes it's a diary. It's a man's diary. She goes, ooh, I better not tell anybody I found this. I'll get in trouble with my parents. So she stuffed it into a box. Well, a few weeks ago, she pulls out that box. Again, 20 years later, opens up this diary, and it belongs to a guy by the name of William Hunt. It's from 1918. Well, now she wants to find William's family because you can just imagine how important it would be to have this wonderful memory of their relative, William Hunt.
So, Mike, how is Tracy trying to find this family?
Oh, she posted a picture of the diary itself on Facebook. So she hopes that Facebook will be responsible for this reunion.
Well, we're rooting for her. We hope she finds them. Thanks, Mike. The popular dating app Hinge marketed itself by matching you based on Facebook friend connections. But this month, Hinge ditched the Facebook login requirement, opting to let users input their phone number for verification instead. The recent data breach scandals involving Facebook had Hinge users feeling uneasy. And the app's director of communications said users were requesting an alternate option to log in. The option to use Facebook when logging in hasn't been fully removed, and bio information from Facebook is used on the Hinge profile. But now the app will disconnect from Facebook once the info is saved. And by the way, if you haven't heard, Fox has a brand new dating show premiering this summer called The Swipe is Right, where Facebook is also not required. So if you live in Southern California and want to find your perfect match, you can apply at theswipeisright.com.
A joint bid from Canada, the United States, and Mexico just won the FIFA vote to host the 2026 World Cup. North America beat out Morocco by a vote of 134-65 to host the world's largest sporting event. The president of the Canadian Soccer Association called the decision an extraordinary honor and privilege, and the president of US Soccer said, "This is an incredible and incredibly important moment for soccer in North America and beyond." 60 of the 80 planned games will be played in the United States, with Mexico and Canada getting 10 games each. However, the tournament is expected to kick off with the first three games being played in each of the three countries.
But back to present day, the World Cup is happening right now in Russia. You and I are rooting for Senegal. Did I get you on the bandwagon?
All right, sure. I'm there.
Okay, go Senegal. You can watch on Fox.
Howie Mandel is hosting a new show on Nat Geo Wild that brings together some of the most unique videos from the animal world. It's inspired by the popular Animals Doing Things Instagram feed, and here's a preview in this week's Nat Geo Minute.
I don't know what is wrong with this bird.
Hey, bud. Hey, bud. You gonna go out yet?
Bert! Bert!
watched the premiere of Howie Mandel's Animals Doing Things on Nat Geo Wild this Sunday at 9, 8 Central.
All right, that's it for today's Top 30. Here's what's coming up on our next show. Email scams are costing Americans billions. We'll tell you what to look out for. Plus, ways to beat that Sunday anxiety before the work week. And one celebrity chef gives back in record time. Thanks for listening to the Top 30 podcast. Tune in every weekday for a new episode. And please make sure to rate and subscribe on iTunes so you'll never miss a story.
You can find out more about the show by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Top30TV. Until next time, Top 30ers, stay safe. Have a marvelous day.